Welcome back to part two of Did God Make Me This Way? Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Ferreira. In the 90s, and probably even earlier, but there was this thought that if we throw off the shackles of the church and what people are trying to tell us what to do, we're going to be free. And so there was a concerted effort to minimize people's thoughts on what the Bible says, to discredit the church, to say that Christians were narrow-minded. And so they said, oh, we have this newfound freedom. If we look today, people are finding that they're not free. And there's actually been a resurgence of people that are going back to church, that are actually opening up God's word. Because what they found is that they didn't find what they were looking for. They were finding that their lives were miserable. And so they've started to seek back after God. And with that has come a resurgence in looking for the truth. And mm-hmm. we have to be open and honest with people. We can say, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings, but what we need to do is we need to speak the truth. And so where does that truth come from? Well, it comes from God's word. God's word is the same yesterday as it is today. The words that we're reading, some of them are over 4,000 years old. And so we have to think, it's been around this long, and yet it's held in such a state that we can say that this is God's word. We should take credence to it. And so when we look at it and they say, okay, well, if God said that this is good, why are you saying what I'm feeling is bad? Is because mm-hmm. not only have we walked away from God's word, but we're under a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And that curse is that we will die, and we've actually died already. And people are like, well, but I'm alive. Yeah, but you're dead. You're alive, but you're dead. What God's word was in it that you shall surely die. If you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. That death was a death of relationship between God and man. Because Satan said, did he really say that you would die? And obviously, we know that Adam and Eve lived after that. They didn't die right away. So we have to ask the question, is God a liar? Or was it something different? And we are all born spiritually dead. And because of that spiritual death, we resist what God wants. We resist him. And so we have to look at things from a different perspective. Are the things that we're doing, the shackles that we've thrown off, has that given us freedom? Or are we now in chains? And a lot of people, now that they have their freedom, are finding themselves being medicated. They're finding themselves right. in therapist office, in counselor's office, in psychiatrist's office. The freedom that they found is not free because they need help. So, you know, what does freedom look like? Is freedom doing what we want to do, everything that we want to do? Because honestly, if everybody had the freedom to do what they wanted to do, we'd be in pure chaos. So that's not a good answer. Or is freedom found in restraint? Is freedom found in control, in good godly control? We can be under control and still be free because mm-hmm. there's security. What we're looking at is a lack of security in what people want to do, and there's security in doing what God wants us to do.
And the world spends trillions of dollars every year to seek this freedom. But the Bible tells us, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, including the creative truth of male and female. And the longer we go down this this transgender gender fluidity, the more anxious and more depressed we get. And people turn to medications which is a physical intervention to solve a spiritual problem, it will never work. Just like a bucket of water will never start a fire.
I love the things you come up with, Kevin. Well, you know, Psalms 2 has been written by the Lord. It says, "Why do the nations rage? Why do the people waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord," right? Mm. They think they can get that freedom, just like what you both are talking about. They cry, "Let's free ourselves from this slavery," right? Whereas actually, if we think about the word of God, where does the word of God come from? It comes from the kingdom of God, right? So they want to throw off the kingdom, which is the, you know, we think about the word that you used, Kevin. You said it's about rebellion. Those are the original sins. Lucifer rebelled and was thrown down to the earth. Eve rebelled, right? And brought death along with Adam into into mankind, which is why, spoiler alert, listener, why we must be born again. Why the Bible says that Jesus is the second and the last Adam. Why? Because Adam represents the old creation, which was bound by sin, just like what Joseph was talking about. But see, Jesus initiated the new creation, those born again into eternal life. And so what Jesus came to do is reverse the curse brought by Adam. Our question to you is, have you stepped into that kingdom? And if you have stepped into that kingdom, it goes back to what we've been talking about and what Matthew talks about is, are you showing your love by your obedience, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what society is saying, regardless of what the world is tolerating? Have you allowed God's word to be the guardrails that, back to what Joseph was saying, actually protect you? They don't diminish you. Listen, you guys live in the Carolinas. I love the Carolinas, but your mountains scare me. I am so grateful for those guardrails. Why? Because I trust that they will do a better job than me from keeping me from falling off the mountain. Well, this is like God's word, right? It protects me. It guardrails my life so that I don't fall down into destruction. So thank you for bringing that up, both of you. You know, rebellion is every man's problem. And if we're not careful, we'll be acting as Lucifer, we'll be acting as Adam and Eve, and we'll continue that thought, which is, well, it looks good. Well, it feels good. Well, I bet you it tastes good. And the Bible says, oh, it does. Oh, sin tastes good until it until it hits the middle, until it hits the true place of digestion, and then destruction comes. So not everything that looks good, everything that tastes good, everything that sounds good. In fact, we should question those things. Amen. We should question those things.
Let me tell you guys about a conversation I had with a patient about a week ago that brought this subject to mind. It was disturbing to me to think and to realize that perhaps our younger crowds, and not to isolate them, are thinking this way. She was in her early 20s, and she professed to be pan. In other words, she or bisexual. She slept with both ladies and guys and so on. And I heard her say more than once that God made me this way. And I tried to educate her that God does nothing against his word. He condemns sexual morality. He condemns homosexuality. He condemns these sort of things. And God would not create you this way against his word. Because if he created you that way and you were destined to be that way, you would not have the ability to keep his word. And his word tells us to keep his word every time we turn around. And so the scripture even says that God, there is no shadow of turning or variation with God. In other words, he is good all the time. There is no way God can create evil. There is no way that he can create a lesbian or a homosexual male or this sexual immorality or gender fluidity, because it's not according to his word. If he would shuck and jive and changed every time and wasn't consistent to his word, we would be done already. We would already be annihilated as a people. We would have found the way to do that. And so God doesn't do anything against his word. She did not buy that. Nope, God created Satan. And I said, well, hold on. God didn't create Satan. God created Lucifer. But she would not concede the point. And she was adamant and violent and verbally caustic to me that God created Satan. And I could not get that point across. And I was arguing with a billy goat, or should I say a demon. And so, I loved her. I prayed for her after that and all that. I even prayed with her during the session one time. And she was training to be in a religious role. And I was flabbergasted. Like, wow. I didn't let her know that. But have we dumbed down that much that our religious people now are going to say, you can be anything you want to be sexually? Don't even pay attention to the word of God. Oh, my goodness. I was like dumbfounded because I have... the word of God controls my life. I want to make it compliant with the word of God, because the word of God and God through his word saved my life. So it's my love. It's my passion. It's my energy. It's my positive spirit. It's my everything. And for a person to teach sexuality apart from God's word is, boy, it just blew me away. And for her to say, hey, you're distorted and your logic is wrong. For her to be in her early 20s and me to be three times her age, and I've been a student of the Bible for 40 something years. I'm not saying I'm right, because there's been a students of the Bible for that long and be dead wrong. I'm just saying I know probably a little bit more than she does. And it was very clear to me that she was using God made me this way. And so if God made me this way, why should I resist it? I should live this way and enjoy it. I don't have to change.
Right.
She was using that as justification to live like hell. Pardon my French.
Yeah. Well,
and to do anything she wanted to do.
That's the word the key word is justification.
Right.
We justify. I do this because I feel this way because I was actually thinking this morning, there's a lot to, there's something I'll probably write in one of our newsletters, and the title is going to be The Calcification of the Heart. You know, we have a lot of things that can sort of, things that can happen to us that can cause us to feel a certain way, but it's up to us on whether or not we hold on to them or let them go. That's going to be a whole nother subject, but, when you're sitting there and you're explaining to somebody that what they feel is God's word versus what is written in God's word, there's a cognitive separation. Is that cognitive dissident where, you know, they want to believe one thing versus what has been already established. And so, but our world on, like I said before, is discrediting. Oh, that's not God's word. It's fallible. If it's fallible, that means I don't have to follow everything that it says. And if I don't have to follow everything that it says, then I can do whatever I want. And so there's a logical step. If we think that God's word is infallible, then everything that we do is measured against it. If God's word is fallible, then there's actually no standard. There's no standard. Mm-hmm. And if there's no standard, who am I to tell somebody that what they're doing is wrong? Well, it's like, well, then I can murder someone. Oh, no, you can't do that. That's bad. Based on whose standard? Well, it's our collective standard. Well, what if you're in the minority? What if all of a sudden that changes? And we've seen that in societies. We've seen civilizations rise and crumble, and what their standards were fell with them. And so we open ourselves up to anything and everything to come. So we have to look at it as boundaries. Those boundaries are there to protect us. in boundaries, we have freedom. In boundaries, we have the ability to protect ourselves. When there are no boundaries, we can do anything we want to other people, and they can do anything that they want to us. Anything and everything can happen to us. Does that mean that if we have boundaries, nothing bad will happen? No. But the likelihoods that things bad happening to you diminish. And so we set ourselves up for success rather than set ourselves up for failure.
Really great. As you're talking, I'm thinking about how you're talking about the things that men do to men, you know, and it's like, it's a reminder that, again, outside of the word of God, right, without having law that is spoken by a perfect God / king, this is where you end up with slavery over the years. See, God never gave man authority over another man. This is why, you know, you say, well, there was slavery in the old days. Yeah, but God had compassion for the slaves. They had to be treated a certain way. And every year of Jubilee, they had to be set free. Like, God did not design slavery. In fact, his original intent was that you would never rule over another man. But men's fallen hearts, right, want to control and dominate, take the authority of God is really what it is. Isn't this is what it goes all the way back to the garden, gentlemen, right? It's like the enemy always wants to usurp the authentic authority of God over another man. This is why it broke God's heart when Israel wanted a king. Because he's like, I am your king. No, 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 but we want a real king. Well, but I am a real king. No, but we want a man king, you know? And so they, you know, they wanted that, the name on the letterhead, you might say, you know, something that they could see. And then they, you know, it was a tragedy. You know, Saul was a tragedy, you know? And, you know, it goes back to what I love to share with many, and I want to share it with the listener, is that you can be confident, you know. Joseph was talking about how long the scriptures have been with us, and they have been proven to be inerrant. And anytime somebody said, oh, that's wrong, it's because they had a misunderstanding, whether it was of the original, you know, Aramaic or Greek or Hebrew, right? And I love to say to people, the Bible is the only book in the universe that ever has been and ever will be, the only book based on prophecy, not mere philosophy. So a lot of false religions, right? I say false because there's only one true God, one true kingdom of God. There's only one true royal law, right? Which is, if you want to call it a religion, right? But there's many false religions because Christ didn't come to bring us a religion, number one. That's a whole nother conversation. Mm-hmm. We made it about religion. But the reason that you know the others are false religion is because they're not based on prophecy. They're based on philosophy. And prophecy is the foretelling of a thing and a foretelling of a thing. And the Bible has thousands and thousands of foretellings that would come to pass, and every single one of them have. The only left to be fulfilled are a few pages at the end of the book called Revelations, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's only a few pages that are yet to be fulfilled. Now, I'm not a gambling person, gentlemen, okay, because I don't seem to do good in that area. But even not as a gambling person, I can tell you, if 99% of these 66 books, the prophecies have come to pass 100%, I'm going to bet my life on those last few pages that have yet to be fulfilled. And especially in our day and time, we see all things that now it makes sense. Didn't make sense 20 years ago, didn't make sense 30 years ago, but now we have the World Wide Web, and, you know, we have things, you know, satellites and things that we did not have, that now even those last prophecies are beginning to be like, oh my gosh, now we have the atomic bomb. Oh, that could see where that would take a place, you know, there. We begin to understand about technology. We understand about viruses that can be created in laboratories. And so what didn't make sense to our forefathers are making sense to us. So I want to say to the listener, if you have believed the lie that the Bible is just a book written by men. Yeah, it was penned by men, but it was under the influence and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's why there's no contradiction over the thousands of years, right? And why you can put your faith and trust. So I just want to say to the listener, please lean into this conversation. If you're a believer already, lean into it more. Cherish your Bible more. This book is based on prophecy, and every single prophecy has come to pass. Amen?
Amen. Guys, as often as I do, I want to kind of tell you a little antidote. I remember going on a horseback ride. I used to ride every Sunday at the church for hours when there weren't a lot of houses around. I would ride through the woods and so on. And this particular day, I was riding a half thoroughbred, half quarter horse. I just threw that in there. It means nothing, but they're a little bit spirited. But I was riding through the woods, meandering about, and all of a sudden, I came upon this hole in the ground that looked like an upside down triangle. It was shaped like a triangle, and it had to be 100 foot deep. It was incredible. It was probably some sort of sinkhole. And if I wouldn't have stopped the horse, we would have both been dead, because we were in the middle of the woods. I mean, 3 or 4 miles from nowhere. And I don't know, but I didn't tell anybody where I was heading. So we might've been down there for like ever. I don't know. And so the reason I'm saying that is because of the following comments. I'm not going to say the following comments out of bashing, out of hate, out of condemning or judging or whatever. I'm saying the following comments so the horse doesn't fall into this 100-foot hole and destroys himself. The topic is God didn't make us this way. God didn't make us gender fluid. God did not make us homosexual. And so if you're a gay man, I love you. You're my brother, but God didn't make you gay. If you're a lesbian, I love you. I want to see you in heaven. I'll do everything I can to sacrifice to help you, but God didn't make you lesbian. And so I know that's very explicit, but that is a lie. The lie that Joseph's told you about, the lie that Laura's told you about, that lie comes from the devil. But what do those people say? Yeah, but I've been this way as far as back as I can remember. Well, that's a biological feeling. That's not biological fact. You're still going according to feeling. And so, for example, homosexuality, I don't believe in it. I tell people sometimes, I don't get into the moral or God's word sometimes. I just tell them flat out, I don't believe homosexuality because it's not compliant, consistent with reproductive scientists. Every hospital in the United States will tell you that. Yep. And they can't get past that. But, yeah. But anyway, so I needed to be explicit because I don't want you to fall in a hole and die, because this bending or distorting our sexuality has that potential. It can ruin our whole life. And so I'm just saying that, and we're no better. And we just desperately want you to hear the truth, the word of God, the truth of God. And I know I've used the Isaiah 11 once or twice in podcasts in the past, and maybe it's my clinical orientation brain, but it speaks volumes. That scripture starting in verse about 5 tells us that when after Christ comes back, the first 4 verses identify us, the root of Jesse and what kind of spirit he had and what kind of characteristics. And then he's going to verse 4 rule with a rod of iron. That's talking about all those prophecies in Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Joel, Revelation, all the ones that and even Deuteronomy, the ones that Laura was talking about. He's going to rule with a rod of iron, not because he's cruel, because it's going to be his way. Because we've tried our way a few thousand years, and it doesn't work. And so he's going to have final peace and final joy and all that. He's going to do it his way, and we're going to be the beneficiaries. So that's what's talking about, a rod of iron, not our rod of iron when we're too militant or too violent or too aggressive with our discipline styles. He's not talking about that. But then it goes into elaborate details about how the lions will eat straw like cattle. Why would the scripture make that comment? That's very interesting. Because in the Garden of Eden, the lions didn't eat meat. And when sin happened, sin started to perpetuate the gender fluidity and the homosexuality and all that stuff. And it started to distort the animal's DNA, and it caused them to be meat eaters in a lot of cases. And it distorted everything. Why else would Christ have to take the animal's nature and genetic DNA back to the beginning? Because it's a distortion. It's not the creative order. And so the reason I'm being animate on this, if he can distort the DNA of animals, then it's not a far jump to say he can distort our DNA, including our sense of sexuality, neurologically, biologically, and so on. Well, not biologically necessary, because we're either male or female, but he can distort the way we look at it, the way we think about it, our social environments from the very jump. And all of a sudden we're thinking, this is biological. This is me. This has got to be truth. But it's not truth based upon how you feel. It's not the creative order. And scripture will go against your argument every single time. Now, I'm not saying that hatefully. I'm saying that because I want you to know the truth. I want you to celebrate the truth. I want you to live in freedom through the truth, because the truth makes us free. Not the distortion of the truth, not the post-Garden of Eden creation, but the pre-fall of man creation story. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Amen. And I
that make any sense, or am I just whistling Dixie? Sense.
Because you're taking us right around to where we started, God's original intent, God's original design, right? And God is going to place the government on Christ's shoulders. He will rule and reign. And God's original intention, which has already begun with the second arrival of Christ, I would say the first arrival coming as the second Adam. And so I'm going to leave this last thought with the listeners, and I'd love to hear your last thoughts, gentlemen, as well. Just coming right off of the passion that Kevin is expressing, and I do know it's passion because I know how deeply you love people, and you love people, you love people through the lens of the Lord, and you don't want people to miss what God has for them. And many are. Many are missing it because they're not walking in agreement and alignment with the Word. And I want to leave the listener with this thought. I want to read right out of 2 Corinthians 5:21. We've talked about God's original design. God is going to always have the last word. And, you know, Kevin touched on that. Right? That is going to be the way it's going to be. God doesn't change his mind, and God isn't moved by men, like we read in Psalm 2. And so I want to say to you that in one of my favorite passages, 2 Corinthians 5:21, well, I'm going to finish with 5:21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Notice the words, if you are born again, if you have left the world's way of thinking, if you are done serving Satan, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. That is in Christ, God, that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. This is what Kevin's doing. God is making his appeal through him, through us. We are imploring you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And this is the main scripture I wanted to share. For our sake, God made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. All of this world's ways of trying to be right and justified, the only way to be made righteous and justified is through what we just read. It is through Christ. And so I want to say to the listener, there's only one way to be in the kingdom, and that is through sonship. You must be born again. Jesus said it. You must be born again. And what happens is when you become born again, you don't just become a creation of God. You become sons and daughters. You come back to the original design, royalty. Every child of a king is royalty. Amen. Mm-hmm. And have authority and responsibility here in the earth. You have assignments that God has prepared for you. Why? Because he wants you to express his original design. He wants you to spread his influence in this territory called earth and the territory that he's given you. And the thing is, yes, you're a son and a daughter, but now you're a steward. You are held accountable. You're a steward managing things on God's behalf. It's not for your behalf. This is why we're saying your opinions don't matter. You're a steward bringing forth the kingdom of God right here into the kingdom of earth, right? It's a small k kingdom, but we're supposed to be spreading the influence of the king. And you have the responsibility to, because now you've been made ambassadors. You are to be reconciling the world to God. This is what Kevin is saying. Be reconciled. Stop listening to the voice of the liar. This is what Joseph has been saying. Stop believing that you're living free when you're living apart from God's word. You're not. And so we go from sonship to stewards. And with that is where the Bible talks about reward. I promise you that whatever, I don't promise you, the Bible promises you that you will be rewarded. You will be rewarded for the things that you have accomplished for the king. You will be rewarded for the friendships you lost because you stood your ground for the king, because you loved the royal law. You loved his currency, which is love, mercy, justice, right? Because you love those things, the Lord will reward you. And yes, there will be punishment, but not the punishment of eternal death, right? That is not for the royal family. That is not for those that have put their faith and trust in God. But there is a warning. If you have not become born again, then you cannot be a part of the kingdom of God. And this is Jesus's message. He wants you to be reconciled. If you think and you hear Kevin persuading you, how much more do you think Jesus is persuading you? If you hear Joseph and myself persuading you, how much more is the King of Glory persuading you? He gave us everything. He gave us Christ, the second and the last Adam, to restore back to us what Adam in his rebellion gave away. The question is, will we be rebellious as Adam, or will we enter in to the kingdom that Christ came to bring us, giving us the opportunity to come back into God's original design? It hasn't happened yet. Christ will establish his kingdom in the earth. Why? God's original design. But what do you choose today? And I implore you, listener, listen to the scripture. The one who loves Jesus is the one who obeys him.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're struggling with homosexuality or gender fluidity, if you're a man and you think you are a woman, if you're a woman and you think you're a man, or I don't know how many gender identities there are, any number of things. I'm not going to speculate, but we know that it's a real problem. It's a real struggle. And so we're not saying that we're better, that since we're not riding our high horse on some theological bent, we have problems just like you do. We are no better. You are our brother and sister. We're not trying to condemn you. We're not trying to discourage you. We're trying to share the truth of God with you because we want you to be free of this. So I don't want you to walk away with the wrong impression and think we're religious hypocrites or we're trying to browbeat you or anything like that. Far from it. I have passion because I want people to be free from this nonsense, from this slavery, because it is a slavery. And so we can help you. There's other counselors that can help you. You know, there's help out there. You're not alone. You're a son or daughter of the Lord, and we're your brothers and sisters.
Absolutely. And I want to address those that are struggling in their faith to kind of understand whether or not God's word is true and if you should apply it to your life. Whether you are a Christian or you're looking at Christianity from the outside, you know, we're not here to give you rules. We're not here to tell you what to do. What we're trying to do is bring you in relationship with God. And he's the one that changes us. He's the one that gives us the strength to help us to overcome the struggles that we have. And so I'm going to read a couple verses out of Isaiah 64 and out of Isaiah 45. Isaiah 64:4 says, "Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to help those who gladly do right, you who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." And I'm going to go over to Isaiah 45 at verse 9, and here's a warning. "Woe to those who quarrel with their maker, those who are nothing but potsherds." What's a potsherd? Broken pottery. "Among the potsherds on the ground. Woe to those who quarrel with their maker. Does the clay say to the potter, 'What are you making?' Does your work say, 'The potter has no hands'? Woe to the one who says to a father, 'What have you begotten?' Or to a mother, 'What have you brought to birth?'" I want to say that sometimes we have questions, and that's okay. Sometimes we think, "Oh, I'm broken." And I'm going to say, "Welcome to the club." Or may say, "God doesn't know me. He made me this way." No, actually, he didn't. You're broken. And that's okay, because he is the potter. He's the one that can put us back together. He's the one that can save us. Are we willing to open up our hearts and be open to him? Or are we going to say, "Who do you think you are? Who are you to tell me what I should feel or how I should be?" So I want to say, be careful, but also that we love you. God loves you. He reached out to us. He's the one that even though we are broken and that we have lost relationship with him, he's the one that reached down. He came in human form to not only be with us, but to also give his life for us. And through his stripes, we are healed. So we have the truths of God's word. Don't diminish it. Don't look at it as a book of rules and things you can and cannot do, but look at it as a relationship. Look at it as a love letter for us, because God created us. He created us in his image. We broke his commands and justice was served, but he was not satisfied in that justice. And in his love, he came down and gave his life for us so that we could have relationship. So I want to ask you, are you open to that relationship? Are you open to what God has for you? First thing I would say is find a Bible-believing church if you don't have one. Find people that you can walk with, talk with. It's going to be scary because sometimes you don't know what they're going to say. They don't know what they're going to say. But open up God's words too. Open up his word. Look at his word. Be open in heart and mind. And he can put you back together. He can heal you. He can give you the strength to get through the things that you're going through. And he can bring you in community with others that can help you too. And we can be that for you too. You can go to our website, fill out our client form, and we can help you. But I want to say, we're not here to hate you. We're not here to condemn you. What we want you to do is to have encouragement in knowing that God has a plan for you and that Doesn't matter what you're going through, he can help you. Whether it's to take it away or to help you through it, that's up to him. But we're here for you. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.